1.5 million pilgrims are flocking to the Italian city of Turin this spring to view the Turin Shroud, which is on public display for the first time in a decade. And one of those pilgrims will be Pope Benedict himself, who is due to view the shroud, which is housed in the city's cathedral, during a visit to Turin this Sunday. The shroud is a piece of linen revered by many as Christ's burial cloth, although others maintain it is a medieval forgery. Measuring over 4 metres by 1 metre, the cloth bears the inexplicable image, reversed like a photographic negative, of a bearded crucified man. Scientists have long been at a loss to explain how this image was left on the cloth, and this enduring mystery helps to explain why the shroud continues to exert such a strong fascination with believers and sceptics alike. No other piece of cloth has ever been so studied, examined, debated and revered. Among those pilgrims who flocked to Turin to take advantage of this rare public display of the shroud was Mark Gushkin, an historian and member of the British Society for the Turin Shroud, who has studied the cloth since 1994 and written 4 books about it. This was his second viewing of the shroud, and he spoke to me about his impressions.
Well, the first time was in 1998, and that was obviously very special, as all first times are. It was very emotional to actually be in front of this object that had been studying for many, many years. We knew it backwards because I was there with a group from Spain, actually, the first time. I think people just enjoyed the experience and felt this wonderful kind of presence of just being in front of this cloth. It was just a very, very special moment. The second time on this last occasion was also very special. It was different from the first time in the sense that in 2002, you know, the shroud had been through what's known as the restoration. The image looks much clearer. It was very special as well because I was with a group of people this time from the UK who hadn't seen it before, and they were all, again, very moved, as were most people who were there. Obviously, in Turin, among all the hundreds of thousands of people that go, then there are many skeptics as well who go to see it as another kind of object for different reasons, just to see what it is that people get so moved by and why people will cross the world. I mean, one of the group that came over with us had come from Malaysia, specifically just to see the shroud.
And what do the people that you met there in Turin say about the fact that Pope Benedict will be visiting the city this weekend to view the shroud in person? Among the people that were queuing there, were they quite excited about this? Were they commenting about this?
People who would come from outside, pilgrims who had come to see the cloth, especially the group that I was with from the UK, they were all very, very excited about it and think it was a great show of belief in what the shroud is and what it represents.
Now, can you explain how and why you first became fascinated by the shroud?
Okay, this goes back to when I was actually at school. I think I was 15 years old, and we were taken by the school. It was a Jesuit school in Leeds in England. And we were taken by the school to a local cinema to see the documentary that came out in 1978, which was called The Silent Witness. That was David Rolfe's first film on it. And I just got really interested in it. But I actually started working on it in the early 1990s because I'm a historian and linguist of old languages by trade. And that was been my investigation and research routes into the shroud have all gone through the historical side of it. And strangely enough, since then, I've met David and, you know, he knows the story and he knows that he's responsible for my interest, let's say. And it was nice because when he made the second part or the updated version of the film just 2 years ago in 2008, then I actually took part in that, which was very nice.
But it's not just Christians who are fascinated by the shroud, is it? I mean, why is it such a crowd puller?
That's quite right. It's not just people who are within any denomination of a church who are fascinated by this. In fact, strangely enough, it's quite often the opposite to this, where especially in the early 20th century, there was a very, very strange turn of events that took place then when there was a well-known Jesuit, Herbert Thurston, who was publishing articles saying that it was a fake. couldn't be real. And at the same time, there was a, quite literally the same year, there was a self-declared atheist, a French scientist called Yves Delage, who was claiming that it was genuine and real. I think that today there are two sides to the shroud. There is obviously a very religious and spiritual side to it because of the image that's on it. But the scientific mystery as to how the image got onto the cloth and everything that surrounds it, its long and disputed history, all the different kinds of experiments that have been carried out on the cloth and the different results that have come out. I think that this has attracted people from all walks of life and all kinds of beliefs or lack of beliefs.
What about the results of the carbon dating tests in 1988? I mean, how did you react to that? Did that lead you at that time to question your belief in the shroud's authenticity?
Well, I suppose everybody at some point along the way must have thought that. I certainly did. But as we were saying, there are so many. You know, if that was the only test that had been done on the cloth, then I suppose we would have just had to accept it. But it's just one test among many. And when there are so many other scientific and historical fields that point towards a first century origin, then I really think that it should be the people who say that it's medieval who try to explain why. It's not good enough just to say, but this dating experiment says it's medieval. Well, you have to be able to explain all of the other things that suggest that it's a much earlier cloth, and nobody has ever been able to do that. You know, I mean, that's what happens in other scientific disciplines. If carbon dating or any other, we have 9 different experiments that point us towards one date, and then one other one says, well, no, it's much later or much earlier. People tend to disregard that. It hasn't happened in this case because it's not a good story. You know, I mean, the carbon dating being infallible is really something that's been published in the sensationalist press more than anywhere else. Saying it's genuine is just not a good press story, whereas saying it's false is. You know, I've been contacted at times by reporters who will say, well, we'll put you on the front page of the magazine if you can tell us something strange or controversial about the shroud. You know, tell us that it's a figure of an alien or something like that. But if you're going to say it's genuine, then we won't even put you in the magazine. And reporters will often tell you that directly. And that's how it works. You know, they want a good story. And unfortunately, the cloth being genuine is not such a good story.
And what are the main reasons why you were always so convinced of its authenticity?
Because I think that it does have a history that can be shown that takes us way back. And also the fact, I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that nobody has been able to explain or reproduce how the image got onto the cloth. And I think that's just a fundamental factor. You know, nobody has been able to prove that it's a fake. People have said it, and people have made many, many attempts to try and come up with something similar to what's on the cloth, and nobody has been able to, whether it's people trying to find out how the image got on there because they believe it's genuine, or more commonly, people who are convinced that it's false, and they trying to show how. There have been, you know, even copies last year that have been made, but none of them have been able to reproduce all the characteristics and features and properties of the shroud image. And I think this very fact, I don't think it's proof, but I think it's certainly a...
Okay. Now, how, for you, does the shroud strengthen your faith as a Catholic, a Christian? What message does it transmit for you?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think there comes a point with the shroud where science and history can take us to a certain point. You know, as I often say, there was an American scientist who passed away 10 years ago now, who always used to say that there is no scientific test for Christness. He used to say as such. In other words, science will never be able to prove that this is genuine. But we are human, and it's very human to need something tangible for faith. I don't think faith is based on the shroud in any way. In fact, I'm convinced it isn't and shouldn't be. But I don't see anything wrong with it being a help in times of doubt. It's something that we can see. It's something that we can read about. It's something that's there. And I think that's very human to need something tangible at certain points. And I certainly wouldn't say that's a sign of weakness. I just think that that's, as I say, we're human and we all have moments of doubt. And this is something there that certainly with me and other people I know has helped maintain faith through those times.
You've written 4 books about the shroud, 2 in English and 2 in Spanish. What message or what themes were you trying to get across in those books?
They were mainly written from a historical point of view, because as I say, that is my own field. And I think that both history and science can take us to a certain point that looks at this image and says, okay, this is what we know. Everything points towards its being genuine, but there is a point after that where you have to leave both science, history behind you. And the last step, I think, is a step of faith in saying, well, I actually do believe that this is genuine. And that's the point of view that I've always taken in my books and articles. Not that science will prove it's genuine, but that there comes a point where that last step, I think, is always going to be a step of faith.
I was speaking to Mark Gushkin, historian and author of four books about the Turin Shroud.